Thank you for listening to The Meanderings of a Librarian. This is Season 2, Episode 3, and it's called Weaving Stories. And I intentionally chose the word weaving stories because this is inspired by several books that have crossed my way this week, but also podcasts and presentations that I've come across or been a part of my life this week. Of course, Braiding Sweetgrass for Young Adults, the young adult version. Indigenous Wisdom, Scientific Knowledge, and the Teachings of Plants. The original Braiding Sweetgrass, of course, is written by Robin Wall Kimmerer. The adapted for young adult version is by Monique Gray Smith, who I was able to meet at ALA Chicago this summer. The illustrations in the young adult version are by Nicole Neidhart. And I had given this book, much earlier in the summer to my dad because I thought he might enjoy it. And my mom, I thought she might enjoy it as well. And my book club that I've been a part of since, when did we start? We always go back and forth. I think it was 1995. They chose, my friend Char chose Braiding Sweetgrass. I think the adult version, but some of us had read the young adult version. And that was the beginning of August. And my dad was taking the book with him on the family trip to Maine. So I was really happy that he was. And he brought it back to me yesterday. And he brought it back to me with a gift. I didn't realize it was a gift at the time until later on in the conversation. Of course, he brought me some braided plant. It wasn't, and I'm looking at it right now, it's not sweet grass, but he was trying to find something that looked like sweet grass because he couldn't find sweet grass. So it was found near his garden in his yard. And he explained, he mentioned that this was harder because it was brittle, more difficult to braid than sweet grass. But it is for sure a work of art. His hands put it together. Hands have always been special in my life. I remember my grandmother who lived next door, her hands did so much, had very bad arthritis. I think all the time that I can remember, but she did so much with her hands. She taught me how to sew. So in any case, I realized later that this braided plant was a gift from my father to me. And when he was leaving, I said, "Is there anything I can do for you?" And he said, "Share that braided plant through your library. He knows how important the library where I work is. It's a way that so many people are able to connect, collaborate, be with one another, whether it's in person with another human being or through the books that are in that library." So then I thought about that and I said, "Oh, I'll put it up in the comm corner." It's a new area in our library. It's not very big, but it's got a couple signs up there and it has some yoga blocks. And I said, "Oh, this braided plant will find its space there. I'll put Braiding Sweetgrass on display close by, and I'll probably put a picture of it. And I believe I will add Braiding Sweetgrass to our counseling connection display down in the counseling center at my school." And those of you that know me know that I truly believe that books call out to us, words call out to us. And so I thought before I started recording this, let me just open this book, Braiding Sweetgrass for Young Adults, open. And I swear this is the page I opened to. It's page 121. And within a circle of braided sweet grass, this is what it says. Trees are affected by their sapling days as much as people are by their childhoods. I'll say it again because you're listening. Trees are affected by their sapling days as much as people are by their childhoods. So, braiding sweetgrass talks about so much. But basically, and this is what my dad and I talked about yesterday, giving back to the earth, not just taking from the earth, but giving back. And in this book, anytime people are taking from the earth, they always make sure that they give first before taking. It's a really important concept, not just for the earth, but for people. And so I thank my dad for giving me this gift of braided plant, and really making me think about, I mean, this episode came to be because of that gesture, that gift to me. I started reading Fighting Words by Kimberly Brubaker Bradley, I think on Friday. I finished it this morning. And it's in Connecticut, it's a Nutmeg Book nominee for 2024. And my dear friend, also a librarian, Janine Johnson, had put this out on our Castle, Connecticut Association of School Librarians listserv a short while ago, maybe last week, asking, you know, talking about the incredible power of this book. But asking about what age is it appropriate for, what age kids. And I just in the author's note, I believe, Kimberly Brubaker Bradley, the author, talks about how this is written for 10-year-olds. And there was some discussion back and forth on the listserv and the intermediate level of the Nutmeg Book Program, which is sort of geared towards fourth through sixth grade. They really liked this book, but felt that the content was too old. And finally, it was the middle school, which is geared towards seventh and eighth graders. But I'm always, it depends on a child, what they're ready for. And as I read this book with an eye, thinking about my brain, thinking about what age is this book appropriate for? The thing that really, well, the facts that really spoke to me in the author's note where she talks about, and even in the book, Bradley talks about how 2/3 of people, and let's see if I can grab this page, I've got it marked, 2/3 of children have gone through or have experienced bad things. And that's a pretty high number. 2/3 of children actually have experienced bad things. That's a really high number. So I feel like it is appropriate for those that can handle it. I think it's also appropriate, really important perhaps, not perhaps, it is really important for children that age to read this book with a trusted adult, which reminds me of another activity or presentation that we had during professional learning this week at my school. Brooklyn Rainey, the author of One Trusted Adult, came to my school and did a phenomenal presentation. She talked about how her hope for the world is that, and she asked us what our hopes were too. Of course, my hope was to get as many people or to get everyone to find the benefits and the joys of reading books. But her hope for the world is that every child has at least one trusted adult. So that book and that work that she does and the work that we do as teachers, as librarians, is to hopefully be that trusted adult for at least one child. And so I encourage you to look into her book, her website, and do what you can to be a trusted adult for kids. And the other thing that happened to me this week was that another dear colleague and friend of mine, Clayton Ketchum, shared with me a podcast, and he thought for some reason it was important that I listen to it and that it would resonate with me. He warned me that I would cry, and I absolutely cried through the whole thing. So thank you, Clayton, for sharing that. I don't think he knows how much or why that podcast affected me so much. We never know what we say to someone, how it will affect the person who's receiving our words or our actions. So the podcast from Clayton, it's from Rumble Strip, and it's called Finn and the Bell. It's a Radiolab podcast from August 25th, 2023. And I'll put the link to that connected to this episode. So Finn was a person who, it seemed like, had everything. The loving family. And this is not a spoiler, because this is right up front in the podcast, but I want you to know what you'll be listening to if you choose to listen to it. He seemed to have everything, and yet he took his own life. And I apologize when I can't keep my voice together without crying during these podcasts, but I am an emotional person. It's just the way it is, especially when speaking, especially with words. So I don't think Clayton knew it, but someone that I knew recently took his own life. But for me, the worst part of that, and this is completely selfish, is that my brother was the one who found his friend after he chose to take his life. And that's trauma. And my brother means the world to me. And I know he's getting help, the help that he needs. And that's wonderful. And I think that's an important part of this podcast, is that people get the help they need, especially in this world that we are living in. There's so much going on, and there's so much that's out of tilt. Yes, we've kind of gone through a pandemic, but we all experienced that trauma. We all went into that fight or flight mode, and it affects each one of us, even those of us that meditate, even those of us or those who go to therapy. We go into that mood. So something's off in our world, off kilter. And so that's why I feel we need books like Braiding Sweetgrass to remind us that we need to get reconnected to the earth, that planting gardens helps, that walking out in nature helps, that for sure, for those who need it, therapy can help. Well, this has been a bit of stream of consciousness so far. I do have a list. I have an outline written here, but all of these podcasts and books they do bounce one of off of each other. And again, getting back to the title of this podcast, weaving stories instead of braiding stories, weaving stories. I mean, that's really, they are interwoven and they're interconnected in my brain at least. But now I'm going to mention about the podcast that Clayton shared, Finn and the Bell. You'll hear the story. You'll hear from different important people in Finn's life, but you'll also hear the story of the Bell. And for those of you that know Rumsey Hall, the Bell is so important. And something that's bothered me through the years since the pandemic, or actually during the pandemic, is that we stopped ringing the bell to end each class and are just using the electronic bell instead. It's really bothered me. And so one of the things that I'm really going to try to do this year is to make sure that that bell gets rung at the end of classes, because it's something that, for me anyways, but I think there's many others throughout the school, that bell, every time it rings, it sounds so beautiful. It has a great tone. And it's something that unifies the community. And that's something that I'm going to try to work on, hopefully with the help of lots of students, because it really needs to come from the students, the unity of our school community. So that podcast not only reminded me of the preciousness of life, every human being, the importance of their life, but also the importance of a bell, and specifically the bell at Rumsey. So now I'm going to focus a bit on Kimberly Brubaker Bradley's book, Fighting Words. And I'm going to read to you from the inside book jacket. And at the top, it starts in quotes, "Sometimes you've got a story you need to find the courage to tell." 10-year-old Della has always had her older sister, Suki. When their mom went to prison, Della had Suki. When their mom's boyfriend took them in, Della had Suki. When that same boyfriend did something so awful that they had to run fast, Della had Suki. Loving, loyal, and fierce, Suki is Della's own wolf, her protector. But who has been protecting Suki? Della might get told off for swearing at school, but she's always known how to keep quiet where it counts. Then Suki tries to kill herself, and Della's world turns so far upside down. It feels like it's shaking her by the ankles. Maybe it's time to speak up. Maybe she's been quiet about the wrong things. Maybe it's time to be loud. This powerful, pitch-perfect novel explodes the stigma around child sexual abuse by balancing an intense tale with compassion, insight, and levity. Kimberly Brubaker Bradley tells a fierce and moving story about two sisters linked by love and trauma, who must find their own voices before they can find their way back to each other. And so on page 214, Della's therapist handed her a list. So it begins, and I quote, "She handed me a list of 10 ways bad things could happen to a kid, like mom in prison, mom on meth, not knowing who or what or where your father was, people putting their hand down your pants, all the stuff that had happened to Suki and me. Phew. I mean, we'd never starved, not that I remembered, though who knew back in the day. There's so much I don't remember well. Probably there were days Mama forgot to feed us." Dr. Freeman nodded when I said so. She said, quote, "Over 2/3 of all children have had at least one of these bad things happen to them." I had to think about that for a moment. And then I said, quote, "You mean 1/3 of all kids haven't had any? None?" Dr. Freeman looked startled, but she nodded. "Wow," I said. I tried to imagine that. I tried to imagine any one of the kids I knew, me, Suki, Tina, Navea, Luisa, any of the kids at my school growing up in some kind of perfect place without a divorce or being hungry or being hit or any single big thing going wrong. I tried to imagine what it would be like, a perfect life. Nope, couldn't do it. Not the kids I knew. I've got like all 10, I said. So I'm pretty much screwed. Dr. Fremont leaned forward and she smiled. No, she said. This is the important part, Della. No one is ever screwed. Not you, not Suki, not anyone. Bad things happening to you cause bad changes to your brain, Dr. Fremont said. But brains can change back. They heal. Your brain can get better. You can do things to help. Really? That's what we're working on here, she said. Changing your brain, calming it down. I'd be calmer if I knew Clifton was staying in prison until I was grown. I thought Suki would be too. I said so. Dr. Fremont said, some things are not entirely within your control. Sure, but that didn't mean I couldn't control them a little. Be in charge of my own life. That sounded good. So that's not really a spoiler because right in the beginning of the book, in the book jacket, it tells you that Della, you know, tries to take her own life and some other things. But I think it's really important for those people that don't read this book to know 2/3 of kids, bad stuff happens to them. That's a huge percentage. But what Dr. Fremont says, but brains can change back. They heal. Your brain can get better. You can do things to help. And I think that's what's important. And that's where Brooklyn Rainey's book, One Trusted Adult, comes in. I think that's where the calm corner, right, comes in my library. I think I'll have, maybe I'll put this book up too. We'll see. Here's another passage from Fighting Words. It starts on page 229. Then it was Friday again. Suki'd worked a short shift midweek and then begged to be put back on Friday night. You know what I love? She said when we were driving there in the car. We dropped Francine off at O'Malin's. When I'm scanning groceries really fast and the register goes bing, 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 it's like music, you know, or winning the library. I did not know, and of course the I refers to Della, but I loved seeing her smile. Coach Tony was standing near the front door wearing his official Food City shirt and a pair of khaki pants. Hey, Coach, I said. Hey, Sunshine, he said. To Suki, he said, welcome back. Thanks, said Suki. Della tell you about the Wise Rec Basketball League? He asked her. I want her to sign up for it so she gets some playing experience before middle school. I'm the coach for the middle school teams. Suki raised her eyebrows. That sounds fun. I shook my head. $40, I said. I'd asked. Oh. We have some scholarships available, Coach Tony said. You'd have to come early, help get the gym set up, sweep the floors, that kind of thing. Really? I could do that. Maybe Devea could do it with me. Suki went to the office to check in. I ran to the deli. Maybelline handed me a cookie the minute she saw me. Chocolate chip. I broke it into 2 pieces and handed half back. We'll share, I said. I'll do the salt shakers tonight, too. She bit into the cookie. That's good, she said. I missed you. How are you? How's your sister? I looked up at Maybelline. I think she's better. I'm scared she's not, but I think she is. She got a semicolon tattooed on her wrist. Did you know tattoos never ever go away? Well, sure, Maybelline said. That's why I never got one. I change my mind more often than some people change their underwear. I want to go back to the part of the passage where it talks about how there are scholarships for kids to be on the Y basketball team because it costs $40 and not everybody has that. And Della, if she would like a scholarship, she'd have to help out, sweep the gym, do some tasks, things like that. Giving back brings me right back to braiding sweetgrass and the point of that book, giving back, giving, not just taking, but giving. And then later in that passage, when Della goes to the food store where her sister works, and Maybelline, who works in the deli counter, and they give kids under 10 a cookie if they come in. Della's not 10. I mean, she is 10, but Maybelline knows. And when Della hangs out while her sister's working, she often helps out with things in the food store to clean up. And but really, it's all good. And so when Maybelline hands Della the cookie, do you remember from the passage? What does Della do? She gives half to Maybelline to enjoy it with her. Again, giving back. This quote comes from page 233 of Fighting Words. Dr. Fremont and Francine both say Suki and I have to live in the present. I get that, but the past keeps sneaking up on us and walloping us upside our heads. For sure. And that's the end of the quote. For sure, life is difficult. On page 256, and again, this is not a huge spoiler because in the very beginning of the book, Della's teacher asks her, is that a real tattoo? And at the end of the book here, Della shows her a piece of paper. What? She said. It's an and symbol, right? Yeah, I said. It's called an ampersand. It also means union or going on a journey or I'd written this down because I liked it so much, but knew I'd never remember it exactly. I read it out. Quote, an expectation for something more to occur. My dad has often said, and that's the end of the quote there. And my dad has often said, this too shall pass. My husband and I talk about this also. Whenever things get really bad, hang in there. Do the things that you need to do to get through them. And it will pass. Trauma for sure will keep coming back. And I'm no way, I am not a trained counselor at all. I don't claim to be. I'm a mother. I'm a teacher. I'm a librarian and a reader. And I tell people that all the time. I am not a trained counselor. And one of the things that is so excellent about this book is that in the back, it also, in the author's note, please read the whole thing. But I'm going to read to you some places that she tells, that she writes where you can go to get help, professional help. So she writes, if you're looking for more information on how to get help or to help someone, I recommend the websites seekthenspeak.org and startbybelieving.org. You can also contact RAIN, RAINN, and in parentheses, that stands for Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. It's the nation's largest anti-sexual violence organization at RAIN, RAINN.org, or 800-656-HOPE. If you want to know more statistics about sexual abuse in children, you can find some on my website, www.KimberlyBrubakerBradley.com. Finally, if you've ever thought about hurting yourself, please, please don't. Lots of places will help you. You can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline 24 hours a day, suicidepreventionlifeline.org, or 800-273-8255. Last of all, be a wolf. Take care of your pack and fight. And so, like Della, I'll try to be a wolf. I'll try to take care of the pack. That's any people that come into my life, whether they're friends, whether they're family, whether they're students. I'll do my best to listen. I'll do my best to give back. As Robin Wall Kimmerer and also Monique Gray Smith try to get that point across in Braiding Sweet Grass. And I'll continue to try to weave stories for others in hopes that at least one person will be helped. Thank you for listening to the meanderings of a librarian.